In the book world, telling horror stories about Amazon is a common enough way to pass the time at conferences and receptions. The details may vary, but the plot is the same. Amazon eats publishers for breakfast. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. What dramatically has changed in the summer of 2014 is not the Amazon horror stories, but their arrival in the headlines and on the front pages. The focus currently is the war over pricing with Hachette and Amazon, but the antagonism goes well beyond the trade world. Indeed, academic publishers are increasingly beholden to the e-retailing giant, and as Karen Christensen, CEO and founder of Berkshire Publishing, has learned, resistance may be futile. She joins me now from her office in Western Massachusetts, and welcome to Beyond the Book, Karen.
Thank you very much for having me, Chris.
Well, we're looking forward to chatting with you because an article that you wrote for the Independent magazine, which is published by IBPA, Independent Book Publishers Association, in their August issue, caught my eye. And I felt it was important to give you a chance to tell the story because it I think, opens up the conversation around Amazon beyond the trade world. But before we get into the details, tell us a bit about Berkshire Publishing. What kind of books are on your list and what kind of an audience do you have?
Berkshire Publishing is a specialist academic and educational publisher. We focus on global issues. We're particularly known for working on all topics connected with China. I'm an environmental author myself, actually published a book that was distributed by Hachette, so I feel a certain special interest in that battle. I wear the hat of an author as well as that of a publisher. The way that the article that you saw came about is actually one of the things Berkshire is known for, is being very much engaged with its global network of thousands of authors and librarians and readers. Contributors are thousands of academic expert contributors. And so I write letters that go out to those folks, usually every month, and that began, that article was actually a post that I did for our blog and for the Berkshire Publishing newsletter. And right. It got enormous attention. It got a huge response from people who said that they had no idea. It got me, it was reprinted in a couple of places. It got me on BBC television and then interviewed by the New York Times. So it's fascinating what the kind of simple outreach that a small publisher like Berkshire does, how we are able, I'm glad to say, to have a kind of impact that some years back we might not have been able to do.
Well, as you say, Karen Christensen, you publish a variety of books, and this network that you have of contributors is in part because several encyclopedias you publish. So I would imagine there are dozens, if not hundreds, of contributors to, for example, the Berkshire Encyclopedia of Sustainability. So that's
over 1,000 authors.
Right. So really what you do does have an impact far and wide. So let's discuss the situation here. What was it that prompted all the attention? What were you writing about? What was the challenge that Amazon had presented to you? And I suppose before we get to that, let me just ask you, you've been a customer of Amazon for some time, correct?
Oh, yes. I'm a great admirer of Amazon, in fact, in many, many ways, have been a happy customer, until recently. It's really hard now that I've become so much connected with the criticism of Amazon. I don't dare to have Amazon packages turning up at my house. But it is frustrating. It's an admirable system, and it means it's one of the things that the fact is that every publisher has to decide now whether they're willing to deal with a monopolist, which is what Amazon has become. And in a sense, it's there, the fact that they have developed over the years, without making much in the way of profits, but they have developed a very impressive system. I think that we can all learn a lot from what they've done. Unfortunately, the deleterious effects of what Amazon is doing today are becoming, affecting the way even people like me who have in the past really admired what Jeff Bezos has done, and in some ways agreed with him when he has said that publishing needs to be disrupted. As a new small publisher, I'm quite keen to do things better, faster, more efficiently, more creatively than some of the more, you know, the older, more established big box publishers with deep pockets.
Right.
I would like to be able to be innovative.
Right. Well, for some people, though, listening, they want to understand better the distinction between what you're trying to do and the so-called trade publishers. And it really matters not only in terms of your approach, but in your business practices. And,
yes.
And I guess we need to tell people very briefly about the so-called trade world and the trade discount, which is something that Amazon has relied upon and has bookstores for many years. So trade books are often sold to their distributors, whether bookstores or Amazon, at a discount, a trade discount that can range between 20% and 55%, but typically around 45-50%. Whereas the type of book that you're publishing there in the academic side is what's known as a short discount. What are the common discounts on for the short discount publishers?
I would say an average is probably 20%, but our standard as a very small publisher has been 10. We do have, you know, there's some range depending on the particular distributor, but 20, when I talk to colleagues, I would say that's a ballpark. And the reason is that we do specialist books that are not going to sell in large numbers. They tend to be really quite demanding, quite costly to develop. Certainly the encyclopedias I produce, very costly. They take a long time. A lot of input from a lot of people. And they're not going to sell in vast quantities. Trade publishers, obviously, some of their books don't sell in large quantities, but their hope always is they're going to get the blockbuster that sells tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of books. And that is simply not going to happen with academic books. I suppose one in a million might. But if you're
Thomas Piketty, perhaps. But
yes,
the other distinction for Amazon for a short discount publisher is that on the trade side, they may get that deep discount, but they also sell the books at a discount. As I understand, at least with Berkshire's books, Amazon was selling them at list price. Is that right?
Yes, quite extraordinary. So they were demanding a trade level discount, but they were not passing that discount on to customers.
And so what happened exactly? You had been doing business happily, or at least you were accommodating yourself to the situation for a number of years. You began working with them in 2006. But then in 2012, Amazon decided to change the game.
Yes, not just for us, but across the board. Made a unilateral decision that they were going to increase the percentage that all of us publishers, short discount publishers, gave them. This would shore up their margins. It's, you know, any business tries to improve its margins. That's quite natural. But to do it unilaterally, and in the case like this with publishers who actually, publishing is not an industry in which there's a lot of fat, certainly not with small companies like ours. And that's what I think it's very important for people to realize, is that this isn't a matter of one big company fighting with another big company. This is a matter of one dominant monopolistic entity in the market trying to swamp everyone else, small and large. And so what they did is simply send a notice in that through their online system saying that they were correcting the discount that we were giving them and increasing it by, in that case, 5%. And when I found out, I was furious, because I was already giving them what seemed to me a huge discount that wasn't justified by the volume of sales. The theory with Amazon is, and they've come out with this recently in one of their releases, is that they should get these higher discounts because they can pass then a discount on to customers, and people on the whole are simply across the board going to buy more books. And then the publisher will benefit, because even if they make less on one book, they're going to sell so many more that their overall numbers will be better. It's simply not true. I mean, I haven't seen that happen. But if you think about it, say you have a book, a specialist book on what happened in the 19th century in upstate New York in the religious revivals. A book, I'm sure, of fascinating to some, but a limited audience, no matter what, no matter how well you market it. But those kind of books, that is what scholars, that is what researchers do. And even in the sciences, they're very specialist topics, but the fact that they're specialist doesn't make them marginal. They may just be that a crucial thing for a crucial small group of people that will have major social, technological, economic impact over time.
And what's interesting about that, Karen Christensen, I think, is that that's certainly the view from the publishing world, perhaps from the author's world as well. But Amazon sees things differently. They just see it as a business transaction. And as I understand, the ability to change discounts is something that's part of their contract with any publisher.
Well, yes. The problem here is that, of course, the only leverage any partner in any party in a contract has, if the contract says it can be changed by one of the parties, is you have to be able to walk away. And as people have asked me, they've said, why have publishers let themselves get in this position? Because in a normal distribution arrangement, a normal business arrangement, you negotiate until both parties are content with the terms. And if it's going to be changed, most contracts say, you know, any change in this will be negotiated in good faith and agreed in writing. We were so eager to get to have the reach that an electronic bookstore would give us that we essentially gave up something very important, which is the independence that we need. Now, I don't have anything like the same volume of my or percentage of my business going through Amazon as some publishers do. There are publishers, quite a few publishers, where they're 60% of their business may be going through Amazon, and they may be in a position where walking away from that is not at the moment, without there being a real competition, is not an option. And that's where that is the problem. And this is what I'm hoping that the Department of Justice in the United States will eventually decide to consider, is the fact that Amazon has become, for all practical purposes, a monopoly within the market, and that it has become impossible for a competitor to set up, which is one of the ways one defines monopoly.
Right. And Karen Christensen, it is your view that all of this is harming not only the bookstores, the publishers, the authors who work for the publishers, but you say that it has an impact on readers, that readers ultimately are going to be hurt by these practices.
Well, one of the wonderful offerings of an online bookstore or any kind of online offering is that you have access to so much stuff, so much useful stuff, whether it's for education or entertainment. The fact is that one can get pretty much any book through Amazon, not in English and in European languages. That's certainly not true with Chinese, for example, and other world languages. But you can get a lot of stuff. What happens when the range is simply not as there may be a larger number of books, because, of course, Amazon is also promoting self-publishing. But what if there are fewer books of the sort that we want and need? Whether for professional purposes, for educational purposes, for scholarly research, or for entertainment, what if the actual quality of the product offering deteriorates? And it's inevitable that it will, because there isn't, because publishers are offering authors lower advances, probably half what they were some years back. It's because they can't make as much money. They can't offer authors as much money, which means there are certain very talented people who can't afford to write books at all or can't afford to write a book as fast. So authors are being affected, and that means that readers are not going to have the books that they would like to have and sometimes need.
Right, and you say that authors and publishers perhaps can't afford to write and publish these books, but for you as a publisher, it's also true that you can't afford to give up the relationship with Amazon.
Well, I'm in a better position than many publishers because I don't have such a high percentage of my sales going through them, nor do I have a lot of stockholders watching every move I make. But the publishing world is thinking about what comes next. You've seen all the press about Amazon. There's a far more open debate about this than there was a couple years ago. When I first started talking a little bit and writing a little bit about this after my experience in 2012, people were either not very interested or telling me how did I dare say anything? What, you know, wasn't I afraid? People still say that, but now, really, as a friend said to me last night, now everyone's saying the stuff you've been saying. Now, where that leaves us, I'm not sure. Because the fact is that what will sort this out is when there's real competition for Amazon. And Amazon is not in the monopolistic position that it is today. So every publisher is going to have to make individual decisions about what is acceptable and look for alternative routes to its readers. And there are a lot of ideas bubbling up with technology companies, with book-selling people, and with publishers themselves. So I consider the current debate and discussion and all the press really very, very exciting. I'm not sure what the solution will be, but the fact is that we need something better than Amazon in order to serve our customers well. And that is our mission, publishers. We want to make information and knowledge public. We want to help. We want to educate and entertain. And we have all sorts of new and exciting ways to do that, but we can't do that if we can't stay afloat in a practical way. Pay our employees, pay our authors, pay to keep the lights on. So a lot of challenges, but I really appreciate the chance to talk to you about this. And I'm continuing to do a lot of outreach and a lot more research and investigation into what the options may be. And people have been coming to me with new ideas, some not so great and some quite interesting. So who knows what's going to percolate out of this.
Well, we certainly appreciate, Karen Christensen, your sharing your story with us. And Karen Christensen is CEO and founder of Berkshire Publishing Group. And her article on her taking on Amazon, going up against Amazon, is in the August 2014 issue of The Independent, the newsletter from the Independent Book Publishers Association. And Karen, once again, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Chris. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow us on Twitter, find Beyond the Book on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. Our engineer and co-producer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.